And I definitely don't want you to miss the opportunity to do so, because life is short, guys. As I say, we had our first parting on Friday. We've now had confirmation of the second this morning. It's not just COVID-19 that is taking us out. Of course, life, a huge part of life and the circle of life is death. One of the things we're not entirely familiar with is how to manage that within this lockdown period. Adrian Bester is the General Manager of Corporate Affairs at AvBob and joins me next to help us understand what the procedures will be under the COVID lockdown.
You're with Cape Talk.
This is Refilwe Emoloto on Breakfast.
So as we know, it's never a good time to talk about death, but it's always an important conversation to have. Adrian, welcome to Breakfast with Refilwe. Please help us understand what to look into with these in these coming weeks.
Good morning, and thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here this morning.
For sure.
So there's been a number of regulations that was issued. So I think the first thing that's important for people to understand is that funeral services per se has been classified as an essential service. So funeral service will continue happening. So after being classified as an essential service, it is then basically up to the individual funeral provider to decide at what level they provide service. Now, unfortunately, also the regulations are not necessarily standard across the country. There's lots of things that people have sort of picked up on. One of them is that the national regulation says that funerals cannot be attended by more than 50 people.
Right.
Now this 50 people obviously does create some problems for a large portion of our clients. And what is worse is that some of the local councils have actually gone on, and it is within their rights or in the regulations to issue local bylaws. And some of these local bylaws are much stricter than even 50 people. The bottom line really for anybody out there is don't try to concern yourself with what are all the different rules and how are they made up and so on and so on.
Okay.
If it happens that somebody in your family passes from COVID or from any other cause of death, the point is call your local funeral undertaker and they will be able to tell you what exactly is the situation in your town. Funerals will go ahead. They might go ahead with only very, very few people attending. And we've seen in Italy, for example, that they've completely banned anybody from attending the funeral. So funerals do go ahead because we simply don't have the capacity to keep the deceased for long periods of time. However, the tack that the Italians have taken is that they will have these memorial services once, COVID is over and situation gets back to normal.
But in the meantime, the bodies must sort of be, I suppose, prepared and buried or cremated in that time, right? There's no telling how long that could be.
Well, yes, there is no telling how long that can be, and this is why, unfortunately, we cannot delay funerals until this is done. So in the meantime, funerals must go ahead. In the meantime, as uncomfortable as it may be, we have to make plans to have those funerals happen without contravening the bylaws. The bylaws are put into place to protect all of us and to help us not to spread the virus further. So the point is, in the meantime, we have to have the burials. In the case of a person that is actually COVID positive, in other words, somebody who passes away from the disease, and fortunately we've only had two of those deaths yet, but in those cases, the deceased, there will be no night vigils, there will be no preparation of the deceased by the family as is tradition in some of our population groups. The deceased will basically be sealed at place of death and taken either directly to a cemetery or directly to a crematorium. For non-COVID cases, they are not that strict, but we still don't allow night vigils. The regulations still don't allow people to be involved in preparing the deceased other than the funeral practitioner themselves, of course. So it is a little bit different, but funerals will continue.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that you mentioned that. I was just thinking from a cultural perspective, I imagine that there's no regulatory loosening for, say, cultures who have vigils for a week even beforehand? I mean, that would mean gathering, that would mean kind of breaching quite a few of the social distancing practices.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, there is no relaxation in the regulations. Mm. We've just had a court case in Mpumalanga to be, I'm not sure if everybody's aware of it. And when I say we, I mean South Africa. We were not, as AFBOB, involved in it. But there, a man applied to travel out of the province to attend his father's funeral. I think it was his father's funeral in the Eastern Cape. And the court ruled that it would be against the issued regulations, and therefore it cannot be done. So, yes, there's going to be some real heartache on top of having lost a loved one. But I think we have to view this in the greater good of the country and in actually limiting this disease. And I heard your discussion earlier today, you know, getting people to stop partying and so on. And this is just, unfortunately, where we have to go. We really have to work together to get this disease under control.
100%. And bearing that in mind, one of the things that you've highlighted is that things such as family cars, catering, flowers and the like will no longer obviously be provided. They're non-core services. With respect to the burial, we're really just focusing on the collection and transportation of the deceased, sort of collecting death certificates, booking the grave and things like that, and just really sticking to the absolute necessities that need to be handled with respect to a passing on.
Yeah, quite correct. I mean, it is absolutely the bare necessities, and I know that in many of our cultures, you know, what we classify as non-core services are just standard part of a funeral. You can't have a funeral without that. But we are living in extraordinary times, and as you say, we are doing the absolutely bare minimum. We collect the deceased, we prepare the deceased for burial, we register the death, because obviously that's also a legal requirement. And then we perform the actual burial or the cremation, and that is really, really it.
Adrian, a quick one. Sorry to interrupt you. As a Muslim, I've got a message here from one of our listeners. As a Muslim, they're saying they have a duty to ritually wash the dead. Are they able to participate in this if their person is COVID-19 deceased?
No, they're not. Okay. So, unfortunately, that's also one of the specific items that has created an issue. I know that there were actually some guidelines issued by the Muslim Council where they said a hose can be used to sort of retain distance from the deceased. But, you know, that is in reality the worst thing that will happen, because what you will cause is you will cause the virus that is actually on the deceased to become airborne.
Right.
So, no, absolutely not. From our perspective, at least, we will not allow anybody to participate in preparing the deceased.
Okay.
I know that in Muslim communities, they often do it sort of in-house. But even there, I would suggest that they definitely do not do that.
Thank you so much for giving us that heads up. Adrian Bester, General Manager of Corporate Affairs at AFBOB, letting us know the nitty-gritty of the necessities we need to understand, even if it's not that easy to talk about.